Please stand. We make our beginning this day in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting?
Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. I caused your grief and sighing by evils, multiplying as countless as the sands. It was indeed our sin that caused Christ to give his life on the cross. There he transformed us from death to sin. Lord Jesus, by the power of your death and resurrection, forgive us and raise us to new life. The risen Jesus is the appointed one by God to be judge of the living and the dead. Whoever believes in him receives the forgiveness through his name. In the stead and by the command of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously.
Your right hand, O Lord, glorious in power. Your right hand shatters the enemy.
You stretched out your right hand, and the earth swallowed them.
You will bring them in and plant them on your own mountain.
The place, O Lord, which you have made your abode.
The sanctuary, O Lord, which your hands have established.
The Lord will reign forever and ever.
I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. 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 You may be seated. He should.
Oh,
The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, through your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, you swallowed up death and opened us the gate of everlasting life. We humbly pray that we may live before you in righteousness and purity forever. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated.
The first reading today is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 65. Behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and former things shall not be remembered or come into mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem to be a joy, and her people to be a gladness. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and be glad in my people. No more shall be heard in it the sound of weeping and the cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not fill out his last days. For the young man shall die 100 years old, and the sinner 100 years old shall be accursed. They shall build houses and inherit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build another inhabit. They shall not plant another eat. For like the days of a tree shall the days of my people be, and my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity, for they shall be the offspring of the blessed of the Lord, and their descendants with them. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall graze together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox, and dust shall be the serpent's food. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle lesson is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been risen from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, then at his coming, those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom of God to the Father, after destroying every rule and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand. Alleluia.
And Christ Jesus abolished death
and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel.
Hallelujah.
The Holy Gospel this day is written in the book of St. Luke, the 24th chapter, beginning at verse 1. This will serve as the basis for today's sermon. On the first day of the week at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you speak amongst the living among the dead? He's not here, but is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and the third day rise?"
And they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, and Joanna, and the mother of Mary and James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. The gospel that was just read a moment ago will serve as our meditation this day. And we're glad to see each of you today. He's risen.
He's risen
indeed. You know, it wasn't that way the first day of that first Easter. They went to the tomb expecting only to see the lifeless, limp body of their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that had been taken down from the cross on Friday night, before it was turned dusk. Then went early the morning of Sunday, that is the women, and yes, they pondered how they would move that large 2.5-ton stone. They then had prepared some 75 to 100 pounds of spices to finish the burial of Jesus and making the preparations final. But they found instead that the tomb that they'd worried about, the stone was rolled away. Not knowing what had happened, they were perplexed. And when they went in towards the tomb, they did not see the body of Jesus. The scriptures tell us they thought maybe it was the Romans, the soldiers, who may have taken the body of Christ. Or perhaps some other answer. But they had more questions than they had answers. And they're a lot alike many of us, including those within the church of the Christian faith. We have questions about the resurrection. And perhaps we just think not a lot about it because we wonder, did it really happen? I hope today, before you leave, you're going to have that question answered. You'll be able to leave here as a believer in Christ, knowing that your Lord and Savior really did rise from the dead. Now, there were two men, angels the Gospels call them, standing in a dazzling apparel.
And the other Gospels talk about them as also being messengers or angels. And the women who had come to the tomb were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground. And the angel said that there's another possibility. They asked, "Why do you seek the living one among the dead?" A good question. If Jesus, who was died, who you came to bury, he's no longer dead. He's alive. Why do you seek him here? Then the other angel, or the angel, said, "He's not here. Look and see." And I'm sure their eyes pierced and scanned the entire environment of that empty tomb. And him they could not see. Then the angel said, "He is risen." And then the angel reminded them, "You remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered up into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day would rise from the dead." Isn't that what happened? Why do you say? Transgressors, one who was a murderer, the other who was a thief, yet he would be buried with a rich man, the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, and not a bone of his body would be broken. Yet, when we start to look at it, Isaiah writes all of these things some 700 years earlier, telling even that not even a bone of his body would be broken. Do you remember what happened as the soldiers went by, hastening the death? They started to look at the first condemned, and they saw that he was still breathing. And so they broke his legs so that he couldn't breathe as easily. It'd be harder for him with broken legs to do that, trying to stand up to get a breath. They came to Jesus, and they saw that he's already dead, and so they didn't break his legs. And then they came to the third, and they also broke his legs. And then that soldier saw that Jesus, who had already died, said, in this way. And even in Psalm, the book of Psalms, the 22nd chapter, they will cast get it? Let's not tear it apart. They cast lots for it, thus fulfilling yet the prophecy of the Psalms. Now the women who went to the tomb that day went to tell Jesus' disciples what they'd seen, what they'd heard, and they related this to them. And the disciples thought this must be fake news, an idle tale, and they didn't believe them. Certainly it's difficult to overcome questions and doubts and to get our mind around Jesus' resurrection after seeing such a horrific death of a crucifixion and so knowing for certain that Christ really, really, really was dead. To them it seemed as though it must be fake news, an idle tale.
But I want you to know something. None of these eyewitnesses, be it the women or the disciples who would go, expected this. They went knowing that he was dead, that he was lying on a tomb in a grave, and that he had really died. They didn't think that there was a resurrection on that day. But why would so many become so convinced if Christ really didn't rise from the dead? Why would this same group of doubting disciples become so convinced that they would later be willing to suffer even death? All but John, the disciple John, died a martyr's death. And John was banished to the island of Patmos. Each one of them died for the Christian faith, believing and trusting that Christ had been dead. Now, it's a little known Greek, or I will say scholars of Judaism, would talk about how many days was Lazarus in the grave? That's right. You guys are smart. When we start to look at that, the idiom or the saying about that is if you've been dead or if you were at someone's house as a guest and you'd been there for 4 days or more, you were no longer a guest. You were a permanent resident. That's what Lazarus was. He's a permanent resident of the grave. That's why it was important that Jesus understood, that they understood, Jesus, we've watched, we've waited to see if Lazarus would come back to life. He's dead. And Jesus raised Lazarus from death to life. He'd been there for 4 days. He was a permanent resident. How many days was Jesus in the grave? Oh, you are good. And so when we start to think about this, what we have is that Jesus was raised from death to life, and was he a permanent resident, or would he be considered a visitor to the grave? He'd be considered a visitor. He was considered only a visit that is all he's going to make. He would taste of death. He would enter into death. But he, who was dead, would come back to life. So true is this that Disney themselves have come up with a 3-day park hopper. When you and I start to think that scriptures and Jewish customs would tell us that Jesus was going to die, but he's just going to be a visitor there, that death itself could not hold him back, the prince and author of life, that nothing could hold Jesus. He was so full of life that not even death could hold him back. Why would so many in this same group of doubting disciples and wondering women become so convinced that they'd be willing to suffer even death because they believed that Jesus had risen from death to life? Paul, who was named Saul earlier in the Gospels and Acts, especially the book of Acts, was converted to believing in the resurrection after being confronted by Jesus on the road to Damascus. Jesus himself says, "Paul, Paul, why are you persecuting me?" He called him Saul at that point because Paul's name wasn't yet changed. "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Saul became Paul, and Paul became a believer, and believer in Christ he was. He devoted his entire life to the service of Jesus, and he too died for the Christian faith. He too died believing in the resurrection of Jesus. He too believed that Jesus had risen from the dead and was so certain of it, he told the known world of his time and would then face death itself. Why would so many become so convinced they'd be willing to die a martyr's death? And for so many in the world to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the living Son of God, the one risen from death to life. 2.2 billion believers. The world's largest religion is Christianity. Trinity Lutheran Church, where you're sitting this morning, is nearing 100 years old. It was our ancestors who believed and established this church. That they added a school later, and that people could come and hear about this Jesus. And they so believed it that they had a child development center that was added to it so that people could even really become disciples of Christ at the youngest of all ages. Why would so many do so much? Even of our ancestors? It's because we believe that Jesus Christ did rise from the dead. Jesus Christ, who suffered death, was crucified, but did rise on the third day, just as he said. We've believed this for generations. So is the world. I now pause and ask you, how about you? Is this some sort of fake news? A big flashing news alert, I hope, is coming on, because Jesus really is risen. He's not in the grave. And the angel's words echo across the earth. Why do you say, living amongst the dead? I want to help you change your channel of doubt and disbelief to a channel of belief and trust. The Apostle Peter ran to the tomb, hearing the woman's words, and he found it as they had said. He stooped in, and Jesus was not there. The linen wrappings and face cloth, neatly folded, just as they had said. And the Bible tells us he went home marveling, but not yet believing. The disciple was not going to be duped. Notice, my friends, Peter went in to check it out, to see for himself. I invite you, my friends, to come and check this Jesus thing out. We're going to be offering a class called the Foundations Class sometime in May. It'll probably be on a Saturday afternoon before the Saturday service. And I invite you to come and check this Jesus thing out, to come and ask your questions, to kick the tires of your faith, to see if Jesus is real, to see if he really did rise from the dead, and to explore those questions and those thoughts for us to do it together. Jesus was patient with his disciples. He appeared to them repeatedly over the next 40 to 50 days. And each of them came to believe, and each of them came to accept that Christ had risen from death to life and was victorious over sin, death, and the grave. At one time, he even sat down before over 500 brethren who too believed that Jesus had risen from the dead. So how important is this Easter thing anyway? Paul says, if Christ be not raised, then we, among all people in the world, as Christians, are the most to be pitied. We are still dead in our sins and in our trespasses. But thanks be to God, who raised Jesus from death to life. And Paul writes elsewhere, I am determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified and risen from the dead. For Paul, the resurrection is a non-negotiable, a fact of the Christian faith. When I was pastoring a mission church in Nashville that we had begun, wonderful church, I began this message with a question on an Easter Sunday morning at sunrise service. I said, what if Jesus really did rise from the dead? What does it mean to you? And what does it mean to the rest of us? A Jewish friend of mine named Dennis was there attending the service that day. And he approached me after the service and he said, that's an interesting question. And I said, what one? He said, the one about what if? What if Jesus really did rise from the dead? He said, it changes everything. And I smiled at him and I said, Dennis, it did change everything. He really did rise. And he looked at me again. He said, what if? Wow. Thank you. Dennis walked away from that conversation And within 6 months after that, Dennis died. I hope that Dennis had that question answered for him. Because, my friends, that same question is before you today. What if? What if Jesus really did rise from the dead? Then your sins are forgiven. And the stuff that separates us as brothers and sisters in Christ, guess what? It's really small stuff. You know why? Because Christ has forgiven all of our sins and has welcomed us and promised us into a paradise called eternity, where we'll be sitting around the biggest banquet table you could ever imagine. And you'll think today's spread is just simply takeout food. Wow. What if Jesus is risen? What did we say? He is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the true faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. Easter and heaven of baptism. Won't it be great when we get to heaven to see all this family that you have? I think most of them are here, though. Who are most of these your side or his? Matt, your side?
It's a mix.
It's a mix. Okay.
All the grandparents.
All the grandparents. That's wonderful. Aunts and uncles. Okay. Yeah. Well, Caroline, it's good to have this happen. All people includes little babies. All people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In a few moments, you're going to be baptized in that exact fashion. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So I want you to know that while we're doing this here at Trinity, she's being baptized into the Christian family, the Christian faith of which Trinity is a part of. And so we want you to realize that this is a Christian baptism, bringing her into the family of God.
as well as the family of Trinity. So today, receive the sign of the cross, both upon your forehead and also over your heart, in remembrance that you've been redeemed by Christ the Crucified. I'd like to now look to you as sponsors and as parents. Do you gladly and willingly intend to bring her, Caroline, up in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to attend worship services, to place in her hands the Bible, and to teach her the things of Christian faith, including how to study the Bible and how to attend at worship services and Sunday school and the like? If so, answer yes with the help of God.
Yes, with the help of God.
Do you also intend to gladly and willingly, especially should her parents be unable to do so, to take up that task and to say, with the help of God, we will do this in remembrance that not only of their parents' wishes, her parents' wishes, but also in the attempt of also understanding that this is a promise that you make before God and this congregation? If so, answer yes with the help of God. We will bring her up in the Christian faith. So at this point, if I can hand this to you, Brennan. We're going to take water, simple water. We got it nice and cold for you. No, we didn't. It's warm. And I would just like to say simple water connected with the promises of God's Word. God's Word that says we are saved by grace through faith. We are also renewed through our baptism into the Christian faith. And we are cleansed by baptism. Baptism now does save us, Peter talks about. And so there's a wonderful promise given unto her and given unto us. So if I can borrow her. Okay. You're not sure about this, are you? You know, I've only dropped one. It was a couple weeks ago. She's cute. Oh, Caroline, I baptize you in the name of God the Father, and in the name of God the Son, and in the name of God the Holy Spirit. I think she said Mama. Yeah. Okay. Oh, we got a kind of a mess of that.
It's okay.
I didn't even have no more tears. She stuck her tongue out. I still love you. I still love you.
Thank you.
Could you just hold her? Lord Jesus, we ask your blessing to be upon Caroline, that you would all the days of her life allow her to be your child, to allow her to know that in this day she was chosen in the waters of baptism to be your daughter. So Jesus, into your hands we place her and ask your blessing to be upon her all the days of her life. May she be a blessing to her family and a blessing to the world in which she will live. In Jesus' holy name. Amen. Well, you want to just show her off to the people? Well, we'll try it again. Yeah. We're not going to go for that dunk again, though. Well, we'd like to welcome you. Could you welcome Trinity, Kristen, and Emily, and Matthew? Right. There we go. Kind of cute. You could be on a Gerber feud bottles. We have some other items, and I'd like to have Brendan.
Here we have a candle that you can, can light next year, a day or two today, to remember the anniversary of her baptism. Little blanket to keep you warm if you got cold from being dunked there. And another gift here. Thank you so much. And I'll get your baptismal certificate.
This is also there, and it's got a lot of water on it from her baptism. I think it'll dry out, though. God's blessings. And welcome to the family here at Trinity.
Thank you.
God's blessings. Could we now join together in the Apostles' Creed? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, conceived by the Holy Spirit, the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Thank you. You can blow that out. Thank you. Congratulations. That's yours.
Oh, here. Thank you. Pastor, I appreciate
it. Thank you. We appreciate you being here with us. Thank you. Happy Easter. Please stand. Having been sent through our baptism by the risen Christ to proclaim good news to the world, let us pray for the whole church and for all people. Almighty God, we give you the highest praise and thanksgiving for breaking into our world in the incarnation of Christ, his atoning death and his most glorious resurrection from the dead. We worship you and we give you thanks for your great glory. By your power and defeat of death, grant us faith, forgiveness, and newness of life. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Give to your whole church on earth both the fear and the joy of bearing witness into Christ's resurrection, each in their own community, faith, family, and vocation. Lord, in your mercy, bless the preaching of your word with the resurrection power that many may come to a constantly renewed repentance and faith, and that bright of light of your truth may shine through our lives. Lord, in your mercy. May the witness of your church cause an increase of justice, peace, and defense against all evil by those in positions of authority in government and of all who serve to preserve and protect our citizens. Lord, in your mercy. And now, O Lord, hear the prayers of your people that have been requested.
Lord, the congregation lists the following prayers to you. We pray for Dexter in Michigan, who is recovering from a stroke. We pray for Randy for strength and healing during his recovery from back surgery. I hope I'm reading this name right, but we pray for the Grundrian family in New Hope, Pennsylvania. I know that place. Husband Tom passed recently. We pray for healing for his family, grief. Pray for Jonathan and Hannah. Praise to God for their graduation this week and next. We also pray for Nellie. She has pneumonia, and pray for her recovery. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayers. May we recognize and know our Lord Jesus in the breaking of bread of the Holy Sacrament, and be filled with heartfelt thanksgiving for the forgiveness of our sins, purchased and declared through his body and blood. Lord, in your mercy. Receive these our prayers and praises for the sake of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who lives and who reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, by his Good Friday death and mighty Easter Day resurrection. You have restored the whole world the gift of everlasting life through the forgiveness of sins. Make this our thanksgiving to you, thunder and resonate through our lives, our words, and our witness to the world, the whole world. Therefore, with Mary Magdalene, Peter, and John, and with all the witnesses of the resurrection, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and we magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing. Blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and have given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. At the empty tomb, the angel announced, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, just as he said." With bold faith in his resurrection and the certain prospect of our own, grant us true repentance and faith that receiving his body and blood for our salvation, we may bear witness in our lives to our risen Lord. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had broken it, he gave it unto his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given unto death for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, after he had supped, he took the cup, and when he had blessed it, he took it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and drink ye all of it, for this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is given and is shed for you for the remission of all your sins. As often as you drink this, do it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always." Amen. You may be seated. We now pray, as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen.
Oh, the Lord is risen as he said.
Go quickly and proclaim the resurrection of Christ
to all the world.
Lord, we rejoice, give thanks, and sing this day for your great gift in this holy sacrament. With all the angel choirs and all the saints on earth, we pour out the strains of joy and bliss. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and bring you his peace. Go in peace and serve the Lord with joy.
Thanks be to God.
He is risen.